Because of the church, very, very exciting. It's awesome. It's good. I'm very thankful for so many areas. I'm thankful for our pastor's council, you know, to be leading the way in a lot of areas of prayer and decisions and worship, and it's just really, really good. It's awesome to see our young adults capturing and even leading the way in areas. It's awesome to see so many spiritual mothers and fathers on Wednesday evening commenting, as I already said, about and feeling they were renewed because of seeing the young adults in worship. And that's what it's all about as spiritual mothers and fathers. Amen. That's what spiritual moms and dads do. We raise up a generation, and we release that generation, and then we care for that generation. We love them, and we nurture them, and we pray for them, and we write checks for them, and that's what we do. That's what spiritual mothers and fathers do, and so it's so awesome to see that, and it's awesome to see the high level of respect and honor and value that we have for each other. I was just with a pastor this week, and I said, "How's it going?" You know, I figured I'm going to get a really kind of same kind of answer that I would give him. You know, I'd say, "Oh, it's awesome." No, not the case. He said, "You know, we're not a big church. We're only, sometimes we have 35, 40 people on a Sunday." And there was a small group of people. They didn't like one thing that was so silly. And they left. And they left and they went to a King James only legalistic church. And so they left freedom to go into bondage. Where those places where you're not supposed to cut your hair, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to, you know what? Let's never take this for granted, okay? Okay, let's never take it for granted, because if you want to come in here and you want to express yourself, and you know, this is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be free. I love what Laura said in a post in Facebook. She said, "I feel like this goes along with what Pastor Ken has been saying and the theme of oneness from Wednesday night's prayer meeting. We can't all be right, but if Jesus is right, we can all be one." Isn't that good? And that's from Andy Stanley at this year's Orange Conference at 2018. So this morning, I want to talk about Holy Spirit. Is that okay? It's so wonderful. Is everyone listening? It is so wonderful to know Holy Spirit in a proper and healthy way. Right? It's very, very excellent to know Holy Spirit in a healthy and an honoring way. Holy Spirit is God. I'm going to read John 14:16 again, but in the Amplified this morning. And it says this, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever." Amen? Isn't that good? Amen. Now, personally, I love the Holy Spirit. I love Holy Spirit. I do. We were introduced to him when we became Christians immediately. And I was very thankful for this, because we were taught and we learned to walk in a relationship with Holy Spirit right from the beginning. Right from the night, January 29th, 1989, we gave our hearts to the Lord in the lobby of Jinkuzi School on Williams Parkway in Brampton, Ontario, and I think the 2 days later, someone put in our hand the book, "The Holy Spirit in You," along with our tithing envelopes. But we were obedient to that, because the Lord did something in our heart, And the last holdout in a lot of people's salvation is their checkbook. And you know what? That was the least amount of holdout for us. It was like, Lord, if you're real, I submit everything about me to you. Okay? And Lord, I am not perfect, but if you could take an imperfect person to make a difference in the world around me, in my circle of influence, Lord, just take me. And you know what? And he did. And I was thinking this morning in our Connect group this morning, 1989, so what's that, 89, 99, 2009, so that's what, 20 years? So it'd be 2019, it'll be like 30 years. And you know what? Out of that, only 1 year and a half, Peter, we stayed in the church. 18 months. We were in Bible college within a year and a half. So that means when you add up Bible college and everything, we've been pastoring for like how many years is that? Over 25 years. 25 years, the privilege of walking with Holy Spirit, learning about Holy Spirit. Okay, and it's been an exciting journey. And this morning I want to talk from my heart. I want to teach a little, and I want to share about Holy Spirit as our friend. Can you say that with me? Our friend. So he's our helper. He is our friend. And he is. How many of you know that honest relationships are important? And if we are honest, this morning we all desire honest relationships. How many of you over here desire honest relationships? Honest friendships? Honest friendships? Honest friendships? Okay. Trust is a huge thing. It's a huge, huge, huge thing. And when we got saved right in Pentecostal charismatic circles. How many of you, when you got saved, you got actually saved in charismatic Pentecostal circles? Anyone? Okay. Good. And so, as we have seen, we've experienced a lot of things. Okay, we didn't come out of a tradition and get set free from it because, and then get introduced later. We got saved in Pentecostal charismatic circles. The church that we got saved in was very, very signs and wonders and charismatic, and but balanced. Okay, there was some weird stuff, but you know, but we honored God, and it was pretty awesome. And we've seen a lot of things. We've seen miracles of salvations, we've seen miracles of praying for people. We have had the privilege of laying hands on people many times, anointing them with oil, and we've seen them healed. We've seen people healed of cancers, and we've seen people delivered from things and depressions lifted off, and we've seen victory in a lot of things, and only God could get the glory for that. You know an individual before, then you see what they're like after. God is awesome, and he's in the business of helping us, as we learned last week. But we've also seen a lack of biblical teaching and proper understanding of Holy Spirit. And I don't want to go negative on you, but we've seen a real lack of it. And we've seen abuses. And we've seen things that are just weird and not characteristic of the attributes of God, the Holy Spirit. So I'm doing a little bit of teaching, a little bit of discipleship on Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is not an it, and Holy Spirit isn't weird. Holy Spirit is God, okay? And anything less than treating him like God is just rude. And it's time to stop being rude to God, the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to reference the pastor that I spoke of last week. He says this. Give you an example. Maybe some of you can't even relate to this because this is the only church you've ever grown up in, but this is what he says. He says, I grew up in a small Texas town. As a typical small town community in America, my hometown had a variety of churches We also had a Christian television station. As a kid, these two things gave me a good exposure to the different streams of Christianity. And he says, my admittedly shallow, somewhat skeptical observations led me to conclude pretty early in my Christian lives that Christians who talked a lot about the Holy Spirit generally fell into the two groups. One in which the women did not wear any makeup at all, and the other in which they invariably wore way too much makeup. For those of you who are chuckling, you're going back to about the late 80s on Christian television, right? He says, for a long time, I figured that any woman who decided she wanted a deeper experience with Holy Spirit faced a dilemma and had to ask herself, am I going to stop wearing makeup or am I going to start wearing more makeup? He is joking, of course, but he's not far off. Okay, he's not far off. And these stereotypes, they indeed are still alive and thriving today amongst a huge number of Jesus-loving people, right? And many are sincerely reluctant to embrace the opportunity of life-transforming relationship with Holy Spirit because of these stereotypes. And that's what they are. There's no holiness attached to them. That's a stereotype. Okay, if you want to never cut your hair and never wear makeup or whatever, it's your business. Just don't put that upon me. Okay, and if you want to wear makeup, then go wear makeup. You know, but just don't put it upon me. And it's not going to be a denominational thing. It's not going to be a law of the church. Right? So the author, he just said, it's just stereotypes. So who is the author of these misconceptions? Let me ask you, who is the author of these misconceptions? Who? Yeah? Who? The enemy. Okay, it's the enemy. It's Satan. Yes, we're allowed to say Satan in the church. The one who wants you to think that inviting the Holy Spirit into your life has little to do with relationship, right? He wants you to think that knowing Holy Spirit has little to do with relationship. Are you guys having a good chat? Yeah, because it's kind of distracting me. Yeah, so, yeah. So let's think about this for a second. If the coming of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is indeed wonderful for believers, doesn't it also make sense that the enemy wants to keep us away from experiencing that help?
Yes.
Right? Doesn't that make so much sense? So one of Satan's primary strategies for keeping people from experiencing the amazing help and benefits and wonderful things that comes from a relationship with Holy Spirit is to convince them that they're doing something weird, or to convince you that someone else is doing something weird, like really weird. And it's been an obstacle to us, and sometimes we've been labeled that way. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit is God. And Holy Spirit is to be honored. And Holy Spirit is to be revered. And Holy Spirit is to be... Holy Spirit is not a buzz. Okay? Holy Spirit is not a Coke machine where you put $2 in and you get your buzz for the day. Of course, Satan has had a lot of help reinforcing that lie. The world has its share of truly eccentric people. And some of them are spirit-filled believers. Right? Some of the most eccentric people I've met are you. Some of the most weirdest people I've ever met in my life are spirit-filled people. Now, I don't say weird in a bad way. Okay, it's not a criticism. Right? But there's a news flash. They were weird before they were filled with the Spirit. That's just who they are. Okay? It's just who you are. It's not the Holy Spirit that made you weird. Amen. You were weird before you knew the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Amen? Amen.
Yes.
They'd be unique, even if they had never been saved. Do you like the word unique better than weird? Sometimes when someone describes me to others, they say, Ken is unique. Okay? But I did not become unique because I got saved. Okay? I'm unique because I'm a child of the King. But I was always this way. I was just telling Lisa this morning, if I would have been your kid growing up and you were looking for me, I'd be off on another street talking to some family or something like this and listening and, you know, and just expanding my worldview. Even at 8 years old, I figured that was important. You know, that's just weird. My mother at 12 years old said, son, you're a strange boy. Are you going to be some kind of a psychologist or something? It's just who I am, but it's who you are too. Okay, I don't want to be you, and you don't need to be me, but you need to be you, right? I did not become unique because I got saved. I was always this way, just a little out there, okay? Just a little bit out there, and I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable with that. I know I'm a little bit out there, and I'm okay with that. I would never hurt you on purpose, okay? I will always try to celebrate you to the best of my ability, but you know what? I'm a little bit out there. Okay? Maybe you're a little bit out there, but you don't see that in yourself. So you think you point to everyone else and say, they're a little bit out there. Well, the person pointing has three fingers pointing back. Right? People sometimes do bizarre things and they claim the Holy Spirit made them do it. Right? He didn't. He didn't. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. This particular lie of the enemy harms us more than we realize. On one hand, we see the biblical evidence that the Holy Spirit is a blessing and a helper. On the other hand, we see the Holy Spirit shows goofy people doing goofy things in the name of the Spirit. Right? And as a result, many people think the Holy Spirit stuff is probably good, but only in small doses. You don't want to get too carried away with it. In essence, they tell the Holy Spirit, okay, I'll open the door of my life just a little bit, a few inches, so that you can put your foot in, but I'm not letting you in all the way because there's no telling what you're going to do. I just don't trust you to behave yourself. Hey, I'm not exaggerating there, okay? I'm not exaggerating there. That is rude. Okay? That is rude. Holy Spirit is not weird. Holy Spirit is God. Right? How insulting is that to say to God, well, I'm not going to let you in. God, I'm not letting you in because I'm not sure if you're going to behave yourself. Think about that. How dare us separate Holy Spirit from God the Father or Jesus Christ? Well, I'm not letting any of that stuff in. How rude is that? Now, you know what that is. It's not just, it's a lack of teaching. It's a lack of discipleship. It's our fault. We haven't taught properly who the Holy Spirit is. If we believed who the Holy Spirit is, we would see the amazing benefits. When Holy Spirit becomes your friend, He does amazing things, benefits in your life. Amen? How many of you could say amen to that? So let's look at a couple of things briefly. Power. Acts 1 and 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is painful for me, okay? Because so many people, Some of you know are closer to what we do daily than other people. And so many Christians, oh my goodness, they struggle in their days to live the Christian life, and they experience all kinds of failure precisely when they're trying to live in their own strength. Oh my goodness, they are saved, yet they live lives of defeat and ineffectiveness, but they spend their entire life without ever living in the victorious power that the Holy Spirit gives. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. According to Galatians, and I know we talk about this often, these verses, but you have to hear this. You have to get it into your spirit. We need to go deeper. According to Galatians 5 and 22, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fully dwell within our lives, not because he's a weirdo, and welcome home, by the way, okay? He produces love. He produces joy. He produces peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, a whole host of other things. He produces, say that with me, he produces. Paul says in those verses, in verse 16, he says, so walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And he closes it in verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul, what does he mean by walking in the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. The qualities he produces in your life this morning are like gift packages that have come down from heaven into each and every one of you. You can't make yourself more patient. It is a gift. Receive the gift. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a package from heaven that just needs to be opened up and let it be manifest through your life and distributed through your life. Give it away. You have so many gifts. Don't keep it. Don't hoard it. Don't be a spiritual hoarder. Give the gifts away. Filled with blessings and miracles and power. Is it any wonder this morning? Is it any wonder that Satan is terrified by the thought of people becoming fully open to the Holy Spirit? See? Maybe people are flashing through your mind right now that are in opposition. Okay? I'll tell you one thing. If you guys really get it, and we're talking revival language, we're talking prayer and intercession, we're talking things that, you know what, we've made a commitment that we're going for it. Okay? We're not going to hit the ceiling like the ceiling like we've always hit. There's a ceiling, you know? And we hit that ceiling because we're comfortable there. And then we back off and we go, oh man, maybe one day there will be a... We know what the ceiling is. Okay? We're pounding through the ceiling. We're not going to allow the ceiling to hold us back any longer. These are packages from heaven. And we're opening them. Open the packages. Throw the paper. Who of you are neat freaks in here where you're not allowed to have paper all over the house? Get over it. Just throw the paper all over the place. Open the gifts. Celebrate it. Oh, what did you get this morning? I got love. Woohoo! What did you get? I got patience. Woohoo! The earliest New Testament believers in Acts chapter 2. You know what? If you think I'm a bushfire out of control now, you know what? Yeah, I haven't even begun. Okay, I'm not going back to a testimony with 30 years ago when I got saved to say, oh, I was a bushfire out of control, and then I subsided, and now I'm up again. You know what? I've been on this kind of trajectory. I'm not on that one, and then going back to get something that I once had. I'm going here because I want more. Woo! Who said I was weird? The earliest New Testament. You people this morning. Sharon, rebuke this house. The earliest New Testament believers in Acts 2 threw open the door to the Holy Spirit and turned the world upside down. Thousands came into the kingdom. I know you know the story, okay? Miracles happened, okay? Lives were transformed everywhere they went, okay? We're not looking back to Acts chapter 2 and saying, Lord, if we're good enough, would you please do it again? We're doing it. Just walk in it. Okay, open up the gift packages. Okay, here, you remember I threw a chocolate bar at you once? Well, now it's gift packages, okay? Love, patience, boom, open them up. Let them flow through you. Holy Spirit is a person, my friend. And when you meet new people, you want to build relationships with them. You have to get to know them. You gradually learn about their backgrounds, their likes, their dislikes, their principles, their habits, their passions. And the more you learn about them, the better you know them. And the same is true with Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know what? I got a little bit of a problem. Because I've studied a lot about the Holy Spirit. Like I told you, 2 days after I got saved, that book was put in my hand, started on this journey. But I didn't learn about Holy Spirit from Christian CNN, where I took a 20-second snippet that someone said. I learned about Holy Spirit because He's my friend and He's my helper. And I developed a relationship with Him. And I know His principles. And I know His voice because I know His principles. He reveals the principles of the Father to me. So I know when I'm hearing Him, not because it's weird, or it's not because, oh, wait, I think I'm hearing something. No, when you hear something, you know it because He's going to show you the principles of the Father. Right? The principles of the Father are yes and amen. They don't change. Do you want to know about the character of the Father in heaven? Then just look at the principles of God all through the Bible. There's principled things all through the Bible. Another friend of mine, or not another friend, but another pastor, a favorite pastor of mine, he says this, you try to say, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more loving. It's like trying to say, he's from California, so you can hear, you can understand why. He says, saying that is like saying some oranges on a eucalyptus tree. It's like saying, tying oranges on a eucalyptus tree and calling it an orange tree. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come from the inside, the Holy Spirit living through you. Amen. Amen. So how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? Well, the answer is gradually. Gradually. Right? It took you a long time to get the way you are. How many of you feel at the times in your life you've been messed up? Okay? It took a long time. Like, seriously, it takes a long time to get messed up. So the answer is gradually. Gradually. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Do you want me to repeat it? It's from the New Living Translation. I like that. I like that version on this one. It says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. When God wants to make a mushroom, guess how long it takes Him? About 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, it takes Him about 60 years. The question is for you this morning, do you want your life to be a mushroom or an oak tree? Amen? For some of us, we didn't collect our hurts and habits and hang-ups overnight. It took a long time to get messed up, amen? Amen? It took a long time to get messed up. We could go through all sorts of stories and You know what? We all have them. Life is not easy. Sometimes life is hard. But God is good. One pastor said someone approached him one Sunday and said, "Pastor, I need to solve my marriage problem." So the pastor said, "How long have you been married?" The person said, 15 years. "How long have you had this problem?" 10 years. "And you want a 5-second answer?" It isn't going to happen. You've got to peel back that onion one layer at a time. Amen. And the Holy Spirit works in us to make us gradually more and more like Him. Okay? He is going to take... I had someone this very week say to Linda and I, I understand where it came from. It was a nice compliment. Okay, they said, our goal in life is to be just like you two. You're such a good role model for us, and our goal is to be like you. And I thought, thank you. But our goal in life is to be more and more like us. And then what we do is, instead of thinking that Holy Spirit is weird and He's going to zap us and change us into something, what He really wants us to do is to identify who we are, okay, and give what we are to Him, to His glory, right? Like I said earlier, before I was saved, if I would have been at a rock concert, I would have been in the front row, jumping, singing louder than the band. And now I'm saved, I'm in the front row, singing louder than the band. Right? The difference is that the songs and the actions and everything like this, I'm giving to God. Amen. Okay? But to say, for you to sit there and say, "Look at him." Maybe some of you say, "Oh man, I wish he would stop." But for those of you who are there and say, "Look at him, the Spirit is all over him." No. It's just me giving God who I am. Amen. I was an expressive kid. Like, you know, there's women in this church who have said to me, they said, "Oh my goodness, I'm glad you weren't my kid growing up." You know, like, it's like, what a handful you would have been. Are you hearing me this morning?
Amen.
Okay. Holy Spirit is not some weirdo that's going to come. Now, you know what, John, if you were to pray for me right now, and I'm standing here and I'm just worshiping God, and all of a sudden in Pentecostal church, sometimes we go down, you know. And we'll go to Swiss Chalet for lunch in those days, and now it's closed because someone hit the building. But is it open again? Okay, good. And someone said, "Oh my goodness, did you see the Holy Spirit? He just threw me to the floor." I'm not getting into a discussion about that. All I know is that, you know, when I'm worshiping God and I'm giving everything to God and I'm in awe of His presence, I could jump up and down, or I can fall down or whatever like this, because I'm giving everything to Him. And it's more about His glory, it's more about His honor than Holy Spirit taking me and throwing me to the ground. Why make it about us? Why make it about me? How about this? Oh my goodness, the presence of God was so strong in the body of Christ this morning because everyone came into the house so committed to worship to an audience of one that I could not even stand it. And so what happened was I came to the altar because the presence of God was so strong. I started to cry. I fell down on one knee. I couldn't even... Right? Does that sound better than, "You know, I came in this morning, and you know that song that I really like, it came around, and I don't know what happened, somewhere through that song, I just felt that the Holy Spirit took me, lifted me up, and smashed me against the wall, and I woke up, and I was in heaven, and then I came back down here, and I saw how gloriously you all worship." You know what? I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, let us honestly develop a relationship for Holy Spirit. Okay? And if you're the type of person who is expressive and everything like this, give it to him. But he's not weird. Some of you are not going to like what I'm saying. You know what? To be honest with you, I don't care. Too bad. And as we read and study Scripture, we discover his personality and his character. And if you want to get to know God, you must read his word. And the more you hear and you recognize and you acknowledge his voice, the easier it is to become, to hear him every time he speaks. It's an amazing privilege that we have to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's our helper and he is our friend. He can be a trusted friend. And he wants to make everything better. Amen? Because that's what trusted friends do. They make things better. Right? Him to us, us to each other. We make things better. And the third member of the Trinity is an ever-present friend. And it's a privilege that we have this morning of knowing him beyond our human comprehension. Amen? Amen. God is good.
Amen. All right.
So let's stand. Does anyone know a song that mentions Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we come before you today in repentance. We ask for forgiveness that we have lost a generation because we have not taken the time to know who you are. We have allowed you sometimes, Holy Spirit, to be presented as weird without coming to your defense. We have not taught as we should that you are God, the Holy Spirit. We repent, Lord, this morning that sometimes we have been selfish and we have thought that we could use you for our good feelings. Holy Spirit, in this house, we want you to be honored. We want you to be high and lifted up. Lord, we don't want one manifestation of the Spirit to stop. Lord, we don't want one sign and wonder to stop. But Lord, we want this to be about you. Holy Spirit, we want you to be honored as God in this house. Help us. Father, for those in the body of Christ, and each and every year the number gets smaller and smaller, but there's always those in the body of Christ that would criticize the third member of the Holy Spirit. I pray for them. I pray for a fresh revelation of the true Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, the Spirit of truth, the Helper. Father, help us to introduce Holy Spirit to people at its basic level from the words of Jesus and explain who Holy Spirit is as opposed to mouthing off a bunch of stuff that people can't understand. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you. You're a gentleman. Yes. We honor you in this house.
Yes.
We thank you. Lord, as we have gone through a reboot in this house, I just sense, Lord, we need to go through a reboot in who we understand Holy Spirit to be. And as we move forward, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be truly honored and that you would be respected in each of our lives. My number one prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would grab a hold of each one's heart today. And Lord, they would take the valuable things that I said and not the things that they might be in opposition to, that would hold them from continuing to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. But Father, take those things and really once again have a relationship with you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Holy Spirit's place in history is to be the voice for this season, the voice that speaks to us. So we have gone through all sorts of things, my friends, on how to hear the voice of God. And I'm going to teach you this morning that if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit has been commissioned in this time of history to be the one who speaks. So if you want to know the principles of the Father, you need to know, be in a relationship with Holy Spirit. And we need to know Holy Spirit as we would know each other, with respect and with honor and with things. You know, and I don't think we make a mockery of Holy Spirit in this house. But you know, a lot of people come here with preconceived ideas on a Sunday because I talk to them. And they come in here and they're expecting weirdness because that's what they've been told. And they're coming here to be a witness of the weirdness just once. And I thought, really? You're coming to see the weirdness in the house of people who genuinely love God? So what have we done? So Father, bless each one as we go our separate ways now. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.